Greetings to each one again in Christ's name. Welcome, everyone. It's good to have all of you regulars here and the visitors. I owe some thanks as well. You all took wonderful care of my family in the week I was gone. I got a lot of texts and things just saying that you were praying for me, so thank you so much. You just have no idea what that means to me. For a message this morning, I thought I'd start out with something that I rarely do, and that is with a personal testimony. And I trust you understand I'm not preaching myself as an example, but just giving a testimony of what God's Word can do in my life, or is doing in my life. As most of you know, I was gone for a week of meetings, and what that means is almost 2 weeks of hours and hours and hours in the Scripture, hours of prayer and meditation on God's Word, hours of seeking the Spirit's guidance and direction. And I just want to tell you this morning, it's amazing what God's Word does in your life if you live in the Word. I have a power in my life these last couple weeks that I have not had for years. I have a hunger and thirst for God that I haven't had. It's easier to love my wife, or to act like I love my wife and my children. And I'm not trying to say that I'm perfect, because I absolutely am not. But it should be no surprise to any of us that God's Word changes the way that we live. And the more of God's Word that we have within us, the greater the change. This isn't about me at all or what I've become. It's about a difference that the words in this book can make in our lives if we take it in. We tend to be foolish Christians here in America, I think, and it's probably human nature. But we tank up on physical food. I mean, just think about what all you've eaten in the last week. Probably most of us eat much more than we need. And if we have something strenuous going, I mean, there's always Red Bull and Gatorade and Body Armor and Prime. And we have all these things that we can put into ourselves to give us extra strength for an extra hard day. But when it comes to our spiritual journey, we're content with a granola bar. You just grab it, eat it, and run. A few verses, you just rapidly chew it, swallow, soon forgotten. Really makes no difference. Or even worse, you might grab a Swiss roll, a prepackaged devotional that who knows who wrote, and just picked out the stuff that tasted good, not the things that are good for you. And that's all our spiritual food for the day. We expect to go out into the world, into the real world, and fight our tendency to lust on a Swiss roll, or our tendency to materialism, or our tendency to discouragement, whatever you face. Are you taking in enough scripture, enough life, enough bread to feed that? Isn't it ironic that we live in a land of so much freedom, and yet, freedom of the word, and yet we so often choose to starve ourselves of it? You know what every great man in history, every great man of God in history has had in common? They all loved God's word. Last time I preached, I talked about how Noah moved with fear at the words of God. It was God's word that inspired Noah to build the ark, and it says there in Hebrews that these three things happened. It says that he saved his family, he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. It was God's word that produced those results in him. It was God's word that carried God's promises, God's instructions, that carried the martyrs joyfully to the stake. And they quoted that scripture to each other as they burned. It was reading and studying God's word that brought our Anabaptist ancestors out of that apostate Catholic Church. When they could learn to read for themselves and study, they filled themselves with it and soon realized that they had a lot of work to do as far as obedience to Scripture. And they followed that. And in the power of that word, our Anabaptist faith was born. And it is still God's words that keep men and women faithful and alive and on fire today. My text this morning will be from Psalm 119. And if you want to feel bad for me for something, feel bad for trying to pick out which verses you should read in here about God's word. This is basically a 176-verse love story about David and God's word. He just loved it. I don't know how he could go on for that long about how much he loved God's word, but we'll read verses 9 to 24. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of my mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Can you tell that David loved the word of God? He says it's his word, his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, his precepts, his testimonies. That was what he loved. That's what he lived for. It's what he lived by. In fact, in one verse he says, he asked God to deal bountifully with him so that he could be alive to keep God's word. He wanted to stay alive so he could keep obeying God. It's just amazing. And you want to be more amazed? What David was reading was not the Gospels and stories of Jesus. It wasn't Romans, the book of grace. It wasn't Ephesians, the book of oneness in the church. It wasn't Revelation, the promise of Jesus coming back. You know what law David had that he loved so much? He's reading Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That was probably the extent of what he had. And at that time, those dry commandments were this meaningful to him. What we call dry commandments. He saw God and the wonders of God in his word. How much more should we love the scripture? Because we have Jesus. We have grace. We have life. Verse 9. Young men, how do you clean up your paths? It's simple. Take heed to where you're going according to God's word. Use God's word as a map to see where you're going and align yourself with it. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. It can seem so complicated to overcome temptation, to live above addictions, to live in victory. But lining your way up with God's word, David says, is how a young man cleans up his life. And remember, David just had the old law. How much more now that we have the new law? God's word will teach you how much God hates sin. God's word will lead you to repent. It'll teach you how to live above sin. It'll lead you to victory. And there are all sorts of programs and self-help books out there, ways to help people out of addictions, and I'm sure they have done a lot of good. But the power of Scripture is better than all of that. if you give yourself to the Scripture. That's what David found out. 1 John 2:14 says, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. There is no accident that those things are in that order. You're strong because God's word abides in you, and because of that, you overcome. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, or taking heed to his way, according to thy word. Verses 10 and 11 there in Psalm 119. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. One thing in my studies last week that I came to realize is that, and David says it here, if you want to know God, you study his word. He reveals himself in the word, and that's the main purpose of his word, is to help us see him. Let's say any of you young people were dating and you were wanting to get to know the person that you are considering marrying. How would you get to know him? Well, you could sneak around, follow them around, and watch what they do. Creepy. Or you could listen to what they say, right? Jesus said that a person's words reveal what they are. Why not much more so for God's word? God's word reveals what he is, and that is the purpose. We can easily look at God's word as an instruction book for how to live life, and it is that. But the main purpose is to get to know God. We read the book so that we see God how he is, and he reveals himself here in his word. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by his faith. We often think that righteousness means like lack of sin, but I believe that most of the time righteousness means correctness or just simply rightness. In God's word, God's rightness is revealed. The fact he's proven right and proven to be who he says he is. And we have this wonderful privilege every day. I don't know how many Bibles we have in our houses. I have 3 different ones downloaded on my phone alone. I mean, it's just amazing. We can get to know God through those words. And by the way, the book is nothing. It's just leather, pages, ink. But the words on the page reveal God. That's why that the word of God is living and powerful and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Their spirit and their life. And David saw that here. He says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. When David went looking for God, he got closer to God's commandments. And again, there are lots of theories, lots of teachings out there about God, books and podcasts of human reasoning on what God must be like and what God wants. And I've been inspired by some of them, of Jordan Peterson's thoughtful psychological approach to God has inspired me. But if you really want to know God, it's his own words that reveal who he is. Verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Let's say this morning I gave you a chance. You could have all riches. $1 million, a vacation home, a yacht, UTV, a brand new truck of your favorite choosing. Or you could have God's testimonies. What are we choosing? David said that following God's way, God's word made him happier than any of that stuff. And he was a king. He understood what all riches meant, but he didn't find fulfillment there. He found fulfillment in God's word. It's there. We know that more comfort doesn't make you happier. Having a servant to cook you breakfast in the morning would not make you any happier. Just add another level of frustration to your life in a way. But it's so easy for me to choose rushing off to work to make another dollar or sleeping for a few more minutes instead of taking the time to find out what God's testimony is for me today. What is God witnessing for me today? So what will we choose? Will we choose to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness and trust him to keep his word and add all these things to us? Or will we choose riches and allow the word to be choked out? A little more on that later. Verses 15 and 16, David talks about meditation. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I mentioned earlier about a granola bar or a Swiss roll devotional in the morning, but maybe I should have called it a toothpaste devotional. How long could you live on brushing your teeth? Not very long. Toothpaste, any nutrients that are in toothpaste get spit out. Have you ever felt like your Bible reading is something that you just took in for a little bit and then totally forgot it? It was nothing. Well, David's answer to that is meditation. When you meditate, it actually goes into your digestive system. Your stomach juices can start working on it. You can take nutrients from it. You can think about it all day long. Meditating on God's word is taking it in and digesting it, allowing it to really, really feed us. Finding something that shows us who God is and how I can make him happy today. Finding strength from it to fight temptation. Mark 4, verses 2 to 9. It feels like I read the parable of the sower pretty regularly, but here it is again, because there's a point here that I want to notice. Mark 4, verse 2, he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. What were the seeds that he was planting? It was God's word. It said, Jesus explains that later. The seeds were God's word. What was the ground it was falling on? It was your heart. Just imagine yourself as being a field in Israel. I don't know how you imagine being a field, but try it. Think of God's word like seeds falling down on you. Where is it landing? Well, first there was a stony ground by the wayside, a really busy, hard place. No, it couldn't even sink in, and things swooped in and took it away before it could grow at all. Here it says there were birds. When Jesus explained the parable, he said it was Satan coming to take away things. We all have something that can keep God's word from bearing fruit. That wayside heart really, it was kind of scary because it's a heart that allows Satan's work in it, but not God's work in it. Satan could move there. The devil, the evil spirit. There was just no chance for the word to grow and sprout. Then you have the stony ground. There's some soft soil, but there are hard spots. And remember, this field is each of us. There are their hard spots that aren't repented of. Pride or bitterness or resentment. Maybe God's word will spring up in some places, but there are spots where nothing can grow because it's just rocky in there. Here it says that it immediately it sprang up, but there was no depth of earth. Maybe you have a quick emotional experience in the Word, but nothing that lasts, nothing that changes you, no fruit at all. And then you get to the thorny ground, and I think that as I imagine myself a field, probably thorny ground is where I tend to be. There's good earth, there's good seed, there's growth, there's stems and stalks and leaves, it springs up, it grows, but there's no fruit. And something is choking out the Word before it can bear fruit. And we got thousands and thousands of things that choke out the Word. Screen time. I have often been distracted from my time in the Word by my phone, just quite honestly. Funny videos, family chats. I don't know what distracts you. Making money, hobbies, just busyness. Maybe you're busy serving in the church, and that chokes out your time with God's Word. It keeps you from meditating, from feeding on God's Word, and it keeps us from bearing fruit. But then there is good soil, and good soil is a heart that is fully pursuing God. It meditates on God's Word. It finds richness and deepness there. It thinks and meditates until it gives strength and power and fruitfulness in our lives. You might ask, how do you learn to meditate or digest? I don't know that we rarely hear teaching on how to meditate on Scripture. And God leads everyone differently. But I would suggest a few things. First of all, don't try to meditate on a whole chapter. It's impossible. You can't remember it. So find a word or a phrase or a verse in your Scripture reading that is especially meaningful to you, something that stood out. And if you need to write it down somewhere that you can carry with you all day. Through the day, turn it around in your mind and ask yourself, what does this teach me about God? Because God's Word is to lead us to Him. What does it teach me about myself? Could these verses mean something differently than I always thought they did? Try to look at it from a new way. And I appreciated Don's devotional this morning because I could tell that he had taken effort to apply those garrisons to his life. It's the way Scripture is meant to be read and understood. And then if you're meditating, we have this wonderful prayer in Psalm 119, verse 18, where he says, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Now you might think David really needed that to see wondrous things in Leviticus. But God's law is hidden to people who don't ask him to reveal it. An atheist and I could read the same scripture at the same pace, the same amount of times, with the same amount of thoughtfulness, and come to two totally different conclusions, because it's God's Spirit that works in leading us to truth, leading us to all truth. God's way too great for our minds to understand. Romans tells us that our natural minds are God's enemies. And so we pray this prayer to open our eyes. Ask God to open our eyes so that we can see the wonderful things that are in the law. We can see the life-giving bread and water that are there. And when we begin to see God, I have found, I believe, when we begin to see God, our hunger and thirst only grows for Him. When those seeds begin to sprout and begin to grow and begin to bear fruit, we see more and more of Him and more love for His Word. And verses 22 to 24. God's Word takes away our fear of man. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Have any of you ever been afraid to be a real and outstanding person of God because of how it might affect your friend group? how it might affect your relationships, how it might affect how people think of you. I have, and I do. It is scary to be thought of as a radical follower of God. You know, you're that weird guy. Nobody wants to be that. David here says that princes spoke against him for keeping God's way. He was reviled by the rich and the famous. He was reviled by people in authority because he followed God. But David was not seeking or finding fulfillment in the approval of people. He was looking for God's fulfillment and God's approval, and he found it in God's word. His joy was there. His security was there. His direction was there. And I'm going to say something about social media again, because it is real. There are people, plenty of opportunities on social media to find people who do not care about you one bit, but who have influence in your life. And people use social media to do what God's word is supposed to do for them. They try to find security there. They try to find a place to belong. They try to find meaning, and all they get is disappointment and disappointment, trying to keep people happy that don't even care about them. If you search for meaning and belonging and brotherhood in God's word, you will find it. David found it. I just love that testimony. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. He was finding his fulfillment from the word of God. People who take God at his word will always be unpopular. Jesus said, "Of course they will hate you, because they hated me first, and you're following me." James 4, God tells his people, I'll just read those verses. James 4, verse 4. "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Do you see what he's saying? If you're looking for friendship in the world, you're an adulterer and adulteress. God is saying, looking for friends and fulfillment out there while claiming to be a Christian is cheating on me. You're looking for love outside of your relationship with me, where all those things can be found. Your friendship with the world makes you my enemy. David didn't need friendship with the world because he had the word of God to delight in and to be his counselor. So we have the choice. We can choose to wholeheartedly pursue God through knowing and doing his word, or we can desire to be in that adulterous affair with the world. In closing, Revelation 19, verses 11 to 16. The thing that stands out to me here is that the name of the man on the horse is the word of God. "I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Doesn't it put the words in this book in a different perspective to see the word in real life riding victorious on a horse? I'm excited. I can't wait to see that scene in heaven where a victorious Christ leads his church through, or the victorious saints through heaven. But the only way that any of us will ever get to see that is through this word on earth, and seeing the life and power here, loving it more than riches, loving it more than worldly acceptance, and just having it as our daily strength, our daily food. Let's pray.